our number is down. Don't know why, but it is. We just need to make sure we encourage our other members to be here. Tonight, I want to talk about a subject called No One Cares for My Soul. And so we ask the question, is this really true? Do you feel that way? Well, all of us, at one time or another, we have felt this way. And so let's look at this. You might consider this about ourselves too. Do we care about our soul? I mean, if we're going to continue in sin, then apparently we don't care for our soul. So that's also important to consider as well. And it might feel this way because it seems like nobody cares about you. And yes, we all get to that point. Sometime we run across these feelings. These are deep feelings, they're emotional feelings, and in a way, they're hurtful feelings. And we don't like those kind of feelings. But we might be wise to consider such if anyone else thinks this about us. Do we care about them? Well, the point of this lesson is we need to care about each other. And so, let's look at this. And how sad that anyone would be motivated to express themselves this way. To come out and publicly say, no one cares about my soul. Well, we have a whole congregation here that everybody's supposed to care about your soul. And because, let's face it, the truth is, out there, outside of those doors, they don't care about your soul. But in here, yes, we should care about each other's soul. In Psalm 142, verses 1 through 3, we're going to read the first part of verse 3 as we go. It says, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou didst know my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. Now on Wednesday nights, we are going through the Psalms, and we've gone through quite a few already, about 30 of them, and we're on our next batch. And we've heard these phrases several times as we go through the scriptures, as the various writers write these things. And so we look at this, and sometimes they feel that they're all alone. And this is usually written, sometimes when David wrote these, it was because someone was trying to kill him. Either his kids were trying to kill him, or his friends were trying to kill him, or somebody was trying to kill him. And so he had a lot of despair in his life. But also, David turned it always around, but in thee, Lord, I do trust. And so he does trust in the Lord. Now we're going to take this same passage which we have on the screen now and read it from the contemporary version and see how that reads. He says, a trap has been hidden along my pathway. Even if you look, you won't see anyone who cares enough to walk beside me. There is no place to hide and no one who really cares. So that's really a feeling that some people have. See, most of us, if not all of us, feel this way or have felt this way in the past. Sometimes we kind of bring it on ourselves, and this drives us into depression. And it gets us into other feelings of little worth. And we feel that maybe the world doesn't care about me and doesn't think about these things. And our world, we know, is a very cold world. It is cold and uncaring, and the reality sets in that nobody cares about my soul. They only seem to care about you if they can get something out of you. They will only be your friend if they think they can get something out of you. And sometimes even family is that way. And it shouldn't be that way, but it often is. And while we may not know or care about someone in another place, we must know that there is a place where we should care and show that care by our actions. And I've already said it, it's here, in this place. This is our palace of refuge, if you want to call it that. You remember in the movie Superman, he had his great crystal palace up there, a palace of refuge, where he could go and contemplate and learn things. This is our palace of refuge, and we need to treat it as such. That place in our world or personal world that we inhabit and move about. So when we talk about the world, we're not worried about India or China or England or even Mexico or even Los Angeles or San Francisco. Our world is right here in Newark and Fremont. This is where we dwell. This is our world, and this is where we need to concentrate on doing what God wants us to do. We sometimes hear stories about poor souls that perhaps die and nobody cared about them. I mean, we see that sometimes. Like the homeless man given the name John Doe 171 in Los Angeles. This was several years ago. But it happened, it seems like he died near City Hall. For 3 days he lay there. People walked by and the groundskeeper just mowed around him and watered around him. And he was not checked upon until the smell was unbearable for those who walked by. You think of a story like that, that's tragic. That someone would die and nobody would check. See somebody on the ground in our world, you're afraid to approach them. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know what diseases they have. And so we just leave them alone and don't do anything about it. There was a businesswoman who was very good at her job and knew many people. Kind of an outstanding individual, they said. But when she was murdered, no one knew who to contact. Imagine this. None of her supposed friends knew who her parents or her siblings were. Police found her diary in which she described herself as so lonely and that nobody cared whether she lived or died. Can you imagine feeling so desperate like that that you would write that down for someone to find? These are sad stories. And the sad truth and reality is, it happens every day. All over this world, these things are happening. And there's many organizations that make a showing of caring for others. Yeah, send us your $19 or 19 cents a day and we'll take care of these people or those people. Send this and we'll take care of that. And they put on a show, but they're just there for the money. And that's all it is. And in a sense, they really don't care either. The reality is that as long as they get their money for doing this, their care is only superficial. It's only a cover-up. It's only a pretense. Let someone think about it. It's like when a basketball player makes a big show, I'm going to have run a charity and get all sorts of people to contribute. All he does is show up for the photo op, and then he disappears. Does he really care? Probably not. It's just superficial. So we in the church are proud to boast that we care about souls. How far are we willing to take that? That's a question that we need to each examine ourselves about. Do we really care about souls? Or are we just interested in filling up the pews and getting numbers in here and going about our routine? We can't be doing that. That is wrong. And we just cannot be doing that. We need to care about souls. And if really no other soul than your own soul, you need to care about that. When was the last time you shared your faith with someone who is not a Christian? I mean, think about that. When was the last time you talked to someone about your faith in God who wasn't a Christian? It may have been a while for some of us. For some of you, it may have been a long time. Perhaps, maybe, you've never even done that. But see, as I've been saying since I've got here, that's our job, is to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And when was the last time you assisted a fellow Christian with more than just financial aid? Yes, we all have needs from time to time, but have we actually done something to assist them? Have we sat down with them and studied the Bible with them if they were curious about something? I mean, that's something that we should be considering, we should be willing to do. And when was the last time we offered someone a shoulder to cry upon, an ear to listen, a mouth to comfort, and a hand for whatever assistance was needed? I don't doubt that any one of us would be glad to do that if someone asked us to. If someone asked for a shoulder to cry on, we would offer it. If someone wanted you to hear their plight and their problems, we would listen to them. I don't doubt that. And if they needed help, we would do whatever we could to help them as much as was physically able to do. I don't doubt that any of us would probably not do those things. But why do we have to wait to be asked? Do we really care? We gather together in the hope that we can help people get to heaven. And that is our purpose. We're here to help people get to heaven. And we look about and we wonder how many people actually care. Do we assemble with the saints to worship God, or are we saying to Him, "Hey, I just showed up. I need my points." You know, some people do that. You know, I remember in the kids' classes, they'd have a chart up there and they'd have little stars. They'd have a child's name down there, and if they showed up that week, they'd get a gold star. And you'd look, and some of these children would be very proud to have all the blanks filled with gold stars. They were very proud of that. Well, Mama and Daddy made sure they were there. And they there was something good to feel about. I've done it. And you'd see every now and then one child maybe show up once every 3 or 4 weeks. But doesn't it seem like some members just kind of show up, say, "Hey, give me my star. Let everybody know that I was here today"? I mean, sometimes it feels that way. And it is aggravating sometimes. Do we only speak of caring, or do we show it by our actions? The truth is, if you do not care about others, you will not get to go to heaven. I've said this several times. That's one of the reasons why we're having our Sunday morning study. If we cannot learn to care for each other, we're not going to make it to heaven. If you can't care about anybody else, you're not going to make it to heaven. If all you care about is what I want to do, as long as I get what I want, as long as people take care of me, you're not going to make it to heaven. That's just a sad reality. And that's what Jesus told us. See, the world only cares for people to the extent of what they can get out of it. We know that's the truth. And hospitals and doctors still rely upon the bottom line in making decisions. Will there be any profit in there? I mean, sometimes you hear about a lawyer that does something pro bono. In other words, he's putting his time in for free. Well, you think that's a generous thing, but in a way, they're kind of required to do that every once in a while, to do something for someone for free. They kind of have that unwritten rule there that they're supposed to do it. Doctors are supposed to do something for free every now and then because, let's face it, they make a lot of money, and so they should be generous to help others. Sometimes it's the hospitals that make the decision, no, we're not going to do that surgery, or we won't allow the doctor to do that surgery because you can't pay for it. I mean, that's a situation a lot of people are in. And sometimes things happen. In my case, the hospital bill was over $500,000. But charity took care of it. And so I'm so grateful for that. Still got doctor's bills we're paying and other medical bills we're paying, but the hospital bill was taken care of. If they didn't have someone doing that, I'd be on the ropes for that. I'd be having to pay that ourselves. And of course, we'd never get it paid. See, government and politicians pretend to care, but do they really? Oh, we know the answer to that. They just want to keep their power. And they'll make all this pretense. Well, we care about you, so vote me in. We care about you, vote me in. And then what happens? The same thing that's been going on for years. Just recently, we've had someone come in there who didn't operate by the rules. And he's so different. A lot of people hate him. A lot of people love him. Some people feel he's just really what we need. But that's really all up to God, isn't it? Yeah, God's the one who puts people in power. Now, where did this attitude come from? It's always been here. See, in Genesis 4:9, we read, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel, your brother?' And he said, 'I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?'" Now, you think about that. You don't know where your brother is, and you claim, "Am I his keeper?" I kind of wish sometimes that God would have replied, well, yeah. Or maybe use the phrase that we use, "Well, duh. Yeah, you are your brother's keeper. And each and every one of us are our brother's keeper." And who is our brother? Our members. That's our brothers and sisters. We are to be keepers of them. And if we see them behaving in such a way that their soul is in jeopardy, wouldn't it be wise to go and let them know our concern? I mean, if we saw a child out there running towards the street, would we not do everything we could to get to that child before it got to the street and in the traffic? We would do that. If we saw someone in a burning car, would we not try and go over and try and free them out of that car? Absolutely, we would. But yet we have people who are demonstrating a behavior that God's not going to be pleased with, and we know it. And yet we just let them go by. Talk about an act of cruelty. Is not providing the warning that people need. And it's like you see the child playing with a bobby pin, trying to put it in that electric socket. "Oh, she'll figure it out." No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to take that chance. No, we're going to scream, "No!" And then the kid startled and drops the bobby pin and was, "Don't do that, don't do that." Why? Because it could hurt you, it could kill you. We are our brother's keeper. We all are. If people in our society really cared about each other, we would not have the civil unrest and moral problems we have now. Byron covered this in his class this morning. And that's true. If the world would just consider each other, our world would be so much better. But every crime out there is because someone doesn't care about you. Sometimes you've been the victim of crimes. Sometimes you've had things stolen. Or someone has mistreated you or beat you up. If they cared about people, that wouldn't happen. So it speaks to our society, and it's a really horrible society. And even society knows it's horrible, but they don't want the only solution that will work. The only solution that will work is people turning back to God and serving Him. Notice in the judgment scene, Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Verse 35, "Sir, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Everybody starts scratching their heads. "What? When did this happen? I don't remember doing this to you, Lord." Verse 40, "And the king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to the one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" Anyone who is a Christian, we need to be ready to help them, assist them, whatever the need might be. Now we can turn that around. The opposite actions are mentioned. Those who did not care for others, the response was the same. "Well, you never gave us that opportunity. We didn't see you. We would have if we'd have seen you." That seems to be their response. "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." See the point? How we treat others will be one of those things that we're judged upon. And when you look at the judgment scene, that's it. We are judged based on how we treat others. And of course, we are judged based on how we treat God. See, God asks for honor and obedience. If we give him that, he is happy. But one of the things included, it's kind of like this big fabric that's all woven together with many different threads. If we might go to church on Sunday morning and partake of the Lord's Supper, mistreat our brethren, that's not going to be acceptable. Some people get the idea, well, I'll just do one or two things, make God happy, and then they go on with their life however they want to live their life. Whatever I want to do. And they will stand up before God in judgment, and God will pronounce a sentence upon them that they may not be expecting. Now, what does this have to do with me? You got to ask yourself, what does all this have to do with me? The truth is, there are many people out there struggling through life. A lot of them are going through problems, and a lot of those problems they brought on themselves. They have these problems, and we can't fix all of the world's problems. We can guide the world to the right solution to fix the problems, but we can't do it ourselves. This is something, the task is so monumental, only God can do what needs to be done. But there are people, some of the people we know, they've gotten involved in drugs, they've gotten involved in debt, they're involved in different problems of all sorts. We can't list them all, but they're struggling, and they're trying to work things out for themselves, and they don't know how. They can't figure it out. Nobody's going to give them a break. Nobody's going to help them. And then they're going to start feeling, well, nobody cares about me. We can help those people. All we have to do is talk to them. If we're going to be the people God wants us to be, we should be able to see the need and act accordingly. Now, we may not be successful, because a person on drugs, trying to get them off drugs, is almost impossible. We have some people here who can testify of that. It's practically impossible unless they really want to get off the drugs. If they want to get away from the alcohol, if they want to get away from other sins, it's very hard to do. They need that support. 1 John 4:17, but whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Honest and simple answer, it can't. It cannot. The love of God does not abide in me if I don't help my brother who is in need. And like I said, their need doesn't necessarily have to be financial. Their need might be spiritual. And that's something we all, because the grace of God is free for all. As freely as we have received, freely we should give it. So basically, if we don't help someone or try to help someone, it's just like saying, I don't care if you go to hell. See, I can choose to complain about my situation to God, just like the psalmist did on numerous occasions. We can sit there and cry, oh, woe is me, woe is me. I have all these problems. I can't get a break, or nobody cares about me. And I can choose to complain about my situation to others. And we have some that are very happy complaining about their problems. Maybe that might be even one of us complaining about our problems and have no problem telling other people about our situation. Or we can learn to put our trust in God. We can learn to tell others to put their trust in God. And that's what the psalmist did there in Psalm 142. You keep reading that chapter, you'll find, but in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. 1 Peter 5:7, we're to cast all our anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And that's right. He does care about us. And sometimes You know, sometimes on the job, we get in a situation, we're not really sure what to do, but we don't want to go bother the boss. Boss has his own problems, and we try and fix it ourselves. Sometimes it works, a lot of times it doesn't work. And so when you try and do it yourself because the boss is busy, they might have some reason that you shouldn't have done that. Sometimes we feel that way about God. We know God is so busy. There's 7 billion people on this planet. A lot of them are praying. He's listening to their prayers. A lot of them are in need. He's seeing to their needs. And he's just so very busy. I don't want to bother him with my problems. And so we just let those things fester inside of us and bother us. But you know what? He wants us to give him our problems. He wants these because he wants to help us. He does care about us. Man may not care about us, but God does. We must remember that. So, do I follow God's instructions regarding my fellow man? Do I assist my fellow man in any way? Do I assist my brethren in any way? Do I have any concern at all over the plight of the suffering? And these are questions we're going to have to ask ourselves and answer ourselves. And really, how we answer will determine whether we go to heaven or hell. See, God does not hold me responsible for those suffering in other places, but he does hold me accountable for those in my world where I am. That's a point we need to get across. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he didn't really say, go into my world. He says, go into your world. And that's what we should be doing. We should be giving people hope, because that's what Christ does. His resurrection gives us hope. And with hope, the hope of salvation, we can offer people hope for their future. See, this lesson is necessary because we do not always care for others as we should. We talk about it, we say it a lot, but do we really? I mean, we should have such care as to be willing to assist in any way to take care of the needs of others, whatever it might be. Assist them. And we may not be loaded with cash. We cannot help them there, but we can help some way, somehow, if these people will let us. You know, we've offered to go over and wash the dishes and clean the carpet and stuff like that. No, I'll take care of it. See, true caring comes from the heart. And that is what God wants us to be. You know, we're to love God from the heart and then love each other from the heart. If we show true caring, those we help will recognize the beauty of Jesus in us. You know, we sing that song, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. That's how it's going to be seen, doing something for others. That's how it's going to be seen. So do you care about my soul or the souls of others? Do you care about your own soul? If not, then you really do not care about your own soul. That is what is to be considered. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing our invitation song. If anyone needs to make a change or a confession, I finally got it. We've all obeyed the gospel in here. We just need to make sure that we are living up to our standard that God puts upon us. Too many times we make our own standard. You know, like the Proverbs, every man's way is right in his own eyes, Proverbs 16:2. And so sometimes, well, I'm okay. I'm all right. God's pleased with me. Hopefully this lesson will get you to reflect and have I really been doing what God wants me to do? Hopefully that'll happen. If you need to make some changes, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.